Romans 14. This is one of those passages that we all should be very familiar with because it talks about the next event in our calendar, which is to meet Jesus. Amen? And I hope you're excited for that. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, the Bible says, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So the title of the message is the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to assemble around your word, around Jesus this morning. Pray you'll use the word in our lives to teach and to grow us, Lord. And if there's someone in our service not born again, may they realize Christ died and rose again for them. And may they be saved today. Lord, those of us that are believers, may we take seriously that one day we will give account. And Lord, may we prepare for that. So we pray you'd have your will in our hearts now and meet with us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's interesting. Paul starts off by saying, "Why dost thou judge thy brother?" When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we are not going to give account for what others have done. And they will not give account for what we've done. We will only give account for ourselves. And that is it. And how much time do we waste here on earth as Christians focusing on wrongs that others have done? Maybe to us, maybe to others. They'll answer to God for that. And that's not our problem. To have bitterness over it or to not forgive, as we all know, is sin. But our focus needs to be on us, on our spiritual walk, where we stand with the Lord, because we are going to give account, as we see in the passage. If you go to John 21, I want to show you an example of this. So things haven't changed in 2,000 years. This was after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is about to ascend back to heaven. And the Apostle Peter did exactly what we do, and that is looking around and saying, "What about him? What about him?" And notice what he says to Jesus here in John 21, verse 20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And so he turns to Jesus and he says, "Well, what about John? What's John going to do?" And Jesus says, "You don't need to worry about John. You need to follow me." And God doesn't want our focus to be on others, God, other than to obviously share the gospel with them and be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters. But he doesn't want us to be focused on where others stand with the Lord, on wrongs that they've done. They'll answer to God for that. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Don't get wrapped up in it. And that's what he's telling us here in this passage. Why dost thou judge thy brother? We know what the scriptures say. Judge not, that thou be not judged, and so forth. So we're not going to give account for others' behavior. Kids are not going to give account for their parents. Parents are not going to give account for their kids, and so forth. Husbands are not going to give an account for their wives. We're each going to give an account for our own decisions, for our own service, for Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to understand that, because he says here in verse 10 of Romans 14, we shall all stand. One of the keys to this passage is that word "all." Now, he's writing to the church in Rome. He's writing to Christians. He is not writing to the unsaved. The unsaved will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll talk about that in a moment. This judgment is for Christians. The unsaved will stand before Christ at another judgment, which we'll have a look at in a little while. This is a judgment for Christians. And this judgment is for our service, what we did with our time. It is not a judgment for our sin. You know why that is? It was already judged at Calvary. Amen. And if you're born again this morning, that sin is gone. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is going to come back to get us, as we understand very clearly, and when we go back to glory, we will stand before this judgment and give account, as we'll talk later. Another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10, let's turn there, where God says it a second time. But this, again, is talking about our title this morning, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then if you go to Luke chapter 14, in verse 14, Jesus talks about recompense. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 3 and understand what that means. Look at Luke 14:14. The Bible says here, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So what does he mean by recompense? And so this judgment is a place where we will give account, but it is also a place where we might receive a reward. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful just to be able to go to heaven. Praise God. And God doesn't have to reward us, but He will. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 3, we'll see this. 1 Corinthians 3:11. It's enough to go to heaven. It's enough to spend forever with Jesus. But God, in His infinite wisdom, as the judge of the universe, has chosen to explain to us that if we have earned it, we can receive rewards as well. Notice 1 Corinthians 3:11. Further foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, we won't take the time to go into that, but God knows the hearts. Right? Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. God's going to judge our works of what sort they are. And we already know He's told us that if we do things for the praise of man, we already have our reward. So it's going to be about our heart motives. It's going to be, was it for Christ alone? And then He goes on to say, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So there God makes it very clear that when we get to this judgment as Christians, we can possibly receive a reward. But verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You've heard the phrase, getting in by the skin of your teeth. That's verse 15. The thief on the cross, there wasn't a reward available. He didn't have an opportunity to serve, did he? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He got saved moments before dying. And there will be many stories like that that we'll hear about in heaven. People may be on the battlefield. People may be getting saved on their deathbed. But those of us that are born again and we're here on earth and we're serving Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to earn rewards. But again, if our motive is to earn rewards, then we've lost the rewards. Our motive is to serve Jesus because we love Him. To be obedient because we love Him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Christ said in John 14:15. So the first point I want to make in this passage is that we will all stand. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now go back to our passage, Romans 14:11. The Bible says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So now He's talking about everyone. So every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The difference is that the Christians have this judgment. The non-Christians have another judgment where they will bow. And that's in Revelation 20. Let's turn there. Most of you have heard it referred to as the Great White Throne Judgment. And the reason for that is because that's what God calls it here in Revelation 20. Verse 11, the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead. So now we know who's at this judgment. the dead. My friend, if you're born again, you're not dead. Now, the Bible says we were once dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2:1, but the day that you got saved, God quickened you with new life, and you received eternal life. And you're no longer dead. So who's this talking about? This is talking about people who never got saved and people who physically died without getting saved, which means they remain eternally dead because of the wages of sin is death. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And notice it says, the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And it goes on to say, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the dead are judged out of the books. Now, we don't know a lot about these books because God doesn't say much about them. But I suspect, based upon other scriptures that we read about giving account, that God will reveal to them all of their sins. Now, time doesn't mean much in eternity, but imagine having every sin opened up in a book. How many do we commit a day? 100? I don't know. Multiply that out. Just imagine what that will be like. And just praise God you won't be there. Amen? Because if your name's in the book of life, you won't be at this judgment. You'll be at the judgment we're talking about now, which is the judgment seat of Christ, where you will be judged. What did you do for Christ? Can you earn rewards? And so back to our passage, Romans 14. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The time to bow, the time to confess is here on earth. Amen? This is the time to say, Jesus is Lord, and I bow myself to Him as my Lord, as my Savior. I confess to God. Doesn't the Bible say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? The time to do that is now. Because if you don't do it now, if you don't do it here on earth, you'll have no choice but to fall before the light and the power and the majesty and the glory of God at the great white throne. But it won't be to be saved. It'll be because you have no choice. Because every knee shall bow. Those of us that are believers, we bow the knee every day, Lord willing, in our prayer closet. But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But God wants us to confess here on earth. Wants us on this, while we have this short time on earth, to say, yes, Jesus is Lord, and yes, I confess that to be true for me. And it's called salvation. It's called being born again. And I hope you can all say you've done that. And if you haven't, it's never too late to say, I need to be saved. I believe in God, but I'm not sure I'm saved, and get saved. But verse 12, let's go back to our passage. Every one of us shall give account. So again, we read, who's going to give account? All Christians, all believers that Paul is writing to here in the book of Romans will give account of himself to God. As we saw there in verse 10, we will not give account for others. We will only give an account for us. You know, this is one of the... When I teach the counseling class in the Bible college, this is one of the first tenets of biblical counseling, is we're accountable for our own behavior. It has to start there. Because we live in an age where we want to blame something or someone else for our behavior, don't we? It's not my fault. It's the way I was raised. It's not my fault. The devil made me do it. We want to pass the blame. But by the way, that's a standard human tendency, because you just got to go back to the Garden of Eden, where it all began, where Adam said, Lord, it's that woman you gave me. Essentially saying, God, it's your fault because you gave me this woman. And look what she's done. She's led me astray. And so God asked the woman, and she said, it was the devil. And we've been doing it for 6,000 years. But we're going to give an account of who? Himself. And I guarantee we're not going to be able to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I didn't serve you because it wasn't my fault. It was someone else's fault that I didn't serve you. No. We all have the same 24 hours a day, and we all have the same Holy Spirit, and we all have the same Word of God. And we're going to give account of Himself. And that is the key. And by the way, this is a theme of the Old Testament, New Testament. Let's just look at an Old Testament example, Ecclesiastes 12, where the frustrated preacher Solomon, at the end of his time, wrote this book after he wrote Proverbs. A lot of his frustrations are recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's a lot of things in there that if you're not careful, you could take out of context. But what matters is what he says at the end. And that is verse 13 of chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's wrap it up. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So here he writes 12 chapters, and he says, let's hear the conclusion. Let's wrap it all up into two verses. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So even in the Old Testament, we were told that we're going to give an account. But then when Jesus came, if you go to the book of Matthew, he also told us that we're going to give an account. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36, for starters. I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Stop and think about what that says. You know, God says he even knows how many hairs are on our head. Some of us, it doesn't take him very long to count. Sorry, Mark, I couldn't help it. But if God even knows how many hairs are on our head, you know what? God knows every word we've ever spoken. Imagine that. In our entire lives. Now, the unsaved are going to give an account for every sinful word. And by the way, he also talks about our thoughts as well. But Christians will give an account. We had the Holy Spirit. We had the Word of God. We had Jesus. We had our mission. What do? We will not give account for our sin. Hallelujah. We talked about that in Sunday school, how the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed our sins. They're gone. He's cast them behind His back. They're in the depths of the sea. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. As it says in Colossians chapter 2, He has forgiven us all trespasses. But we will give account for what we did for Jesus. Go to Matthew 18. We'll see another one. Here he's telling a parable. And in the parable, he is the king, and we are the servants. And notice Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now we won't read the whole parable, but the point is, Jesus told the parable to explain to us that he is going to make sure that we all give account. And who's giving account here? The servants. That's us. If you're saved, you're one of the servants of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's a compliment. That's not a negative thing. But he will have us give account, every servant. And those rewards, if you go to Revelation chapter 4, those rewards that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 3, there's not going to be any boasting in heaven because there's no sin in heaven. So there's not going to be people walking around with 10 crowns and other people walking around with 2 crowns. And the people with 10 crowns saying, I have 10. Doesn't work that way in heaven. That's called pride. That was the original problem that led to the devil's fall. And let's face it, it's the root of most of our sin, isn't it? What are we going to do with those crowns? Verse 4 of Revelation 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, we won't do a study on it this morning, but the Bible talks about some of the different crowns that we can earn. What are we going to do with them? Down in verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. So you've heard people talking about casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. This is where they get it. We're not going to heaven to boast or to brag. We're going to heaven to be with Jesus, the one who died and rose again for us. And by the way, the only scars in heaven will be the scars on Christ's hands that we'll be able to see to remind us for eternity what He did for us. And He didn't have to. Imagine what that will be like. We can't imagine, can we? I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. No matter how good we imagine it will be better. Praise the Lord. And then over in Romans 8:18, if you turn over there, the Apostle Paul said that when we get to heaven, it is going to be so good and so amazing that the sufferings that we went through here on earth will seem like nothing. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And let's face it, when we're here on earth, our sufferings seem pretty intense, don't they? But notice what he says, Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says you can't even compare. And sometimes we go through some very intense trials. Some of them last a long time. We're going to get to heaven and look back and say, it was nothing. Because now I'm with Jesus and I get to be with Him forever. And after the judgment, I get to sit down and have a supper with Him, a special supper. Let's look at that in Revelation 19. And then after I have that special supper, I'm going to get to come back to the earth and spend 1,000 years with Him, ruling and reigning with Him here on earth. And as we went through Isaiah and now Jeremiah, we've seen that over and over, how God promised this kingdom to His people Israel, and how we as Christians get in on the program and we get to be part of it too. Notice Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. You know who that is? That's you. If you're born again, that's you. You are the bride of Christ. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Imagine a supper with Jesus. Millions of people. Maybe billions, I don't know. But the point of this message is that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will all give account. And so God has given us gifts, which we are stewards of. He's given us abilities, which we are stewards of. He's given us time, which we're stewards of. Money and possessions, which we are only stewards of. We don't own anything. He owns it all. And He's given us His own presence in the person of the Holy Ghost. We are His temple. He's given us the most powerful book in the universe, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart and can divide between soul and spirit. He's given us all these things. And now He says, I want you to serve me. I want you to obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I want you to serve me. And we're not going to stand before God at the judgment seat and try to make excuses. This isn't going to happen because we already know God knows everything. So the good news is we have time. at least until this next minute, because the trumpet could blow during this service. Amen. But until that does happen, we have time to serve Him to the best of our ability with what He's given us, because we're going to give account. And, you know, we believe by faith God exists. We believe by faith that this is His Word. We believe by faith that He saved us from hell when we trusted Him. We believe all those things. We have no visual evidence of any of them. We need to believe just as powerfully by faith that Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself," and just as powerfully by faith that we will give account at the judgment. And live for that. And prepare for that. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:3, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." In other words, if you really believe Jesus is coming back, and if you really believe you're going to answer to Him someday at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll prepare yourself. You'll do what you can to be ready so that you, like John said in Revelation, can say, "Even so, come Lord Jesus, I'm ready, come." Because there will be some Christians, as it says in 1 John 2:28, that will be ashamed at His coming. Let that not be you.